blasting through the night. Hello, Madison. Welcome again to the Perpetual Notion Machine. May 14th, 2026. The distant future. Or up to 2 months, 3 months, 2 or 3 months in the archives. So get on there. I'm your mad scientist host, Wally. And with me in the WRT studio is my fellow mad scientist, Anders Corbett, codename Microbe Hunter. Anders is a former U.S. national team rower, not a coxswain, a rower, a former research fellow doing genetics in the church lab at Harvard Medical School. He still loves to row. He loves the water sports. He raced in 2012 at the World Rowing Championship. His big passion besides water sports and his old tinkering sports car is to help professional athletes win games. He crafts the microbes by developing performance-enhancing microbes and probiotics, which are NSF certified, which is why he started Kraft Microbes in 2017. And he is the CEO and founder of Kraft Microbes. So, Microbe Hunter, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, why the microbiome?
When I was training, there was a difference between me and the other athletes at the Olympic Training Center. And we were doing the same training. We were doing the same workouts. We were eating together. But some people were getting faster than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the training center and I wanted to learn how or what maybe my microbiome was the difference in how I recovered, how I performed.
And that was important. I mean, because that's when people go to compete, you're traveling, you're in Olympic Village, you're whatever, you're doing all the various things you have to do to compete, and you're far from home and you're mm-hmm. eating a bunch of like fair food and who else knows, they always run out of condoms at Olympic Village. So it must be exhausting, but more than that though, you want to compete at the best level you can
yeah.
while using, you know, legit, like healthy strategies
right.
versus like shams or, you know, putting oxygen in your own blood and pumping it back into you. Thanks, Lance. That was a good idea. Great idea. So what, if you're talking about like elite athletes and if you're also talking about like elite horses,
mm-hmm.
what do we care about when it comes to like our microbiome and our gut?
It's still a lot to learn. We're still like really mm-hmm. early stages. And the original research came, I guess, 4 years after I stopped rowing. I first did some bioengineering graduate work at MIT, and then I was found my way into Harvard Medical School just by meeting the professor at the mall and asking for a job. Mm. And he gave me a job. But I convinced him to...
Wait, the mall?
Yeah,
is this the 90s?
The Chestnut Hill Mall
okay.
in outside of Boston. Mm. Dr. Church shops at the mall.
And, Sam Goody, whatnot.
I was working at Brooks Brothers, and he gave me some great advice. He said, put yourself in places you don't belong, because that's where you learn the most. And 2 weeks later, I snuck past the security and told his secretary that I was a former student. And... got 15 minutes with Dr. Church, and I said, hey, here I am. Can I have a job? And he gave me a job.
So, and rowing, so you're a longtime rower.
Yep.
An athlete mm-hmm. in that way. How did that transcend? I mean, rowers are known for, like, their dedication and, like, absurd dedication. I'll say dedication twice. Like, how did that influence your journey?
It started because a friend of mine's father said, like, aren't you a little small to be a rower?
Right. And you're a track athlete as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I eventually walked onto the team the next year, and then my second year on the team, they were undefeated national champions. And I just like kept going because I had something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
I needed that result, and I just kept training until I basically broke my body and then raced at the World Championships.
We're going to tease Iron Man here, which Madison Proud, Iron Man is a thing. We are the Iron Man town. It's Ozzy Osbourne getting down with rowing. So tell me, we're talking about craft microbes, mm-hmm. Or craft microbiomes, I suppose. That's your business. You're the mm-hmm. CEO of Craft Microbiomes. What is it that you do for athletes? Like, what's the process?
I isolate these performance-enhancing probiotics from the athletes themselves, grow large quantities, and then give them back to the athletes. They turn into manufacturing plants inside the person, and they start pumping out these different metabolites.
Mm-hmm.
Each type of sport needs a different metabolite to perform better, and I'm an expert on isolating those specific bacteria.
Or so you'd think, right? You'd be like, you're like, this is what you need. And maybe they do. But they're kind of crafting their own thing as well.
I let them be the catalyst.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the results are that if people say they're going to do better, and they do. We won't talk about the people that you work with. they're just, what does it mean to be NSF certified? What does that even stand for?
There's a specific National Safe for Sport.
Okay.
And it's a exhaustive test, and it costs an outrageous amount of money,
mm-hmm.
Where I give them my product and they test it for all the contaminants and steroids, and then they give mm-hmm. their certification that any athlete from high school to professional can take it without fear of being of testing positive for steroids or any sort of contaminant.
Like weed, which is a performance enhancing drug, right?
In season it is. Yeah, I was in the anti-doping protocol. It's mm-hmm. there's different lists for in season versus out of season.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. What have you found to be some of your most profound experiences with people telling you why this is a great idea, or like why this works at all?
I had left Harvard Medical School and I had like 6 months off. And I was fixing old Porsches in Boston outside of Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
And this old Italian gentleman running the garage was, I told him my idea of like isolating these performance probiotics to make people faster. He's like, obviously, that's what you do with baby pigs. You take the manure from the mother pig, give it to the baby pig.
Whoa.
And then I realized like I hadn't actually discovered anything new. I've just like repackaged old knowledge.
Standing on the shoulders of giants.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so you had a really great revelation that you told me earlier about if you can't afford or don't want to do any of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's still just good about like what you can do for your own microbiome in your home. Like what would you recommend?
Well, as American or Western society has progressed, there's more and more sterility
mm-hmm.
in our life, more sterile. Like houses with dishwashers, people get sick more often. But one of the easiest things you can do to have more bacteria, more variety of bacteria inside of you is go out to the woods and dig up a tree with the soil and then bring that tree and the soil into your house and don't use, you know, commercially available soil. Like keep that soil because there's a...
Wait, don't we have to cut it down and put it on our roof? So it's a small tree.
Yeah, like a little bush.
Little Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Ish. Christmas bush.
Yeah, right. And if you put it in your house, there's a measurable effect on your own microbiome.
Makes sense.
Right. Other things that can affect your daily microbiome is having a dog or a new person living in your house.
What about cats, though?
Well, there's some interesting bacteria and... in cats that
we can't piss off the cat moms. The cats,
yeah,
ladies are important to the station. So don't forget to donate. Also, good time to mention that the views expressed upon the Perpetual Motion Machine do not necessarily reflect the cat owners on the board or other staff. It is merely two mad scientists talking about science.
Even us in this room, we're exchanging mm-hmm. bacteria in a measurable mm-hmm. way. Yeah.
Okay. I believe it. Yeah. It's all right there. So the microbiome,
mm-hmm.
it's everywhere.
Yeah.
We're not one organism. We're like, how many thousands in different, how many different organisms do you think live on a single person? Roughly.
There's 10 times more bacteria than human cells.
How many different ones?
At least 10,000 in the gut.
No, but how many different species of biome? Like 35?
If you even go down to like subspecies and genetic right. variants, it's probably in the millions.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's reassuring.
Yeah. Well, but unfortunately, being able to culture them or grow them is extremely limited.
And so that's kind of your job. Like you're a geneticist.
Yeah.
And so you're slicing and dicing. For those that have like a modicum of genetics understanding or that don't know what the hell you're talking about, but are interested, like, how do you sequence the genomes of these things?
People give a sample, and that sample is then plated on a petri dish that has a number of different growth conditions. Sometimes bacteria only grow without oxygen, some grow with oxygen, some bacteria only grow with other bacteria around them. Mm. And so I have an anaerobic chamber, so without oxygen, that I plate people's samples and then pick colonies from those samples and then replicate it. And actually the technology that allows all this to be possible is something called next-gen sequencing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a large scale and cheap ability to identify what genes or what DNA is in each bacteria.
And with more specific, because like I have a biologist from 2004 understanding, so I'm like, oh yeah, PCR and like the agar and the whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So but that there's fallacies in that kind of genetics, so why is this better than what I know about all that?
I think when the human genome was completed, it was in a lot of ways, I think that was a failure in understanding how a human would be understood. Like it was thought you could predict intelligence or hair color or how long you would live based on your DNA. And that didn't turn out to be true.
Mm.
But what was a major benefit from that was being able to reduce the cost. So at that time in around 2000, 2001, it was $1 billion to sequence the human genome. And now that price has dropped to less than 600.
Hmm.
And so that technology has become so robust.
More accurate as well.
So, way more accurate. Yeah.
Because PCR, it tends to collect bits of data that are just slice, slice, slice. Like that's mm-hmm. what you're, so that it will overexpress certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been other developments within sequencing for something called RNA-seq to know which genes are being activated within the genome.
Speaking of being activated, it is time for a true classic. Shout out to Ozzy Osbourne and Madison, and a good pick for a song. If you want to be the best of the best, if you want to be Giannis out there and selling CDs to the people of Greece, we need this song right now. So let's take a break. We'll be back in 3.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm your mad scientist host, Wally, in conversation with Anders Corbett, codename Microbe Hunter. We're talking about what in the world is the microbiome? What is the microbiome world, and what does it do? So why is the microbiome so important to sports?
In sports, at the 2016 Rio Olympics, I could tell what sport people played based on how the bacteria that lived inside of them would grow or decrease in population.
You're saying it's like cyanobacteria for swimmers?
Yeah, swimmers can
be... It's anaerobic, right?
It is. It also produces oxygen inside of them. It could be a result of their training, or it could be a result of like an adaptation to perform.
And too much chlorine, probably.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah. So you talked about improving people's hotel stay and their travel. And part of like getting inside of what it means to be performance athlete. Like why do the basketball championships, they're so dependent upon home field advantage? I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but yeah. Sleep and like the whole, that's mm-hmm. part of it, right?
Yeah. There's great papers on circadian rhythm and coming from the microbiome and producing certain metabolites at night in your own bed, your own house. Also for specifically the NBA players, are the distinct difference between their microbiome in season versus out of season. Mm-hmm. And so when I supplement them, I'm always trying to get their microbiome or their composition back to what they're, what it is out of season.
Like a resting rate.
Yeah. When they're recovered, when they're healthy, when they're.
And not super stressed out and playing like game four.
Yeah. It's like you're traveling 4 days a week. You're eating weird food. You're staying in strange places. Yeah.
Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And they are. I get to travel and. I like to stay a minute in a place and like get relaxed
mm-hmm.
if I can, but it's not easy. It's a whole rigmarole, lots of flying around. And,
yeah,
I was a marching band. I'm a tuba player.
Mm-hmm. You
know, so high stakes orchestra.
There's probably an exchange between the instrument and you.
Certainly, I'm very brassy. They say.
Yeah,
a bit bronzed. Of the Bronze Age, no doubt.
Yeah.
So you've done some work with the UFC and the World's Strongest Man as people you've worked with. So tell me a bit about what their needs are and how you kind of help that situation.
For the World's Strongest Man, I tested their oral saliva bacteria during their competition week, and one of the most interesting things was the athletes that had competed 2 weeks earlier at Europe's Strongest Man had significantly elevated levels of a bacteria called Villanella inside of them, Villanella atypica, which consumes lactate out of the body across the blood-intestinal barrier. And so it was they had much higher populations or relative abundance, and you could say, like, these guys clearly aren't recovered from their prior competition 2 weeks earlier.
Ah, right. So they had given their all, and mm-hmm. then the muscle response was still in recovery mode versus like ready to go.
And it was like these populations were so high because there was still food available for those bacteria.
So you told me this great quote from Hippocrates. Say his name for me, would you? Hippocrates?
Hippocrates, yeah.
Sure. All disease begins in the gut, and the immune system, a lot of it's in your gut.
Yeah.
So what does this mean about just recovery? Because if you're in especially if you're in like a huge amphitheater, you're getting stressed out various ways, you gotta stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean for my bucks?
Well, he was much of the world considers him the world's first doctor, but he thought all disease and all illness came from just having a stable digestive system.
Mm.
Today, you know, there'll be Google searches in areas before there are disease outbreaks. You know, people will talk about dysbiosis or diarrhea mm-hmm. or upset stomach, you know, days before. And so it's like, it's a telltale sign of like something going on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you notice it in yourself a day or two before you get sick. Something goes on.
You often do. Like you have that trigger and you're like, okay, yeah, something's up.
Something's coming.
Kind of know it, yeah. So we're talking phages here too, as well as like that's a other microbiome, like supporting mm-hmm. your own systems. And you'd mentioned to me that you have a difference between like an infant system versus mm-hmm. a mother system versus like a mature adult and like all the in-betweens. So are you also, I imagine part of this is trying to support the things we don't really count or think about as much, but like that underlying health over time.
Yeah.
And then your ability to shift and find a new stressed out state. Because if you're talking about high performance athletes, they're in these super intense and they're like giving every iota, every strand, every muscle is going towards this thing that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And recovery and overall healthy state is super important. So do you think you can change people's like microbiota like for real over time or like with probiotics or like how does this relate to like probiotics or like an everyday pill or like we're all cyborgs. So we're all like tweaking ourselves. Like what do you think? Like what's the long-term answer to this kind of gut health?
You know, there's no perfect microbiome, and I don't believe I can change a person's microbiome completely over time, but I believe I can gear these athletes or these regular people, I can gear their system for a specific outcome by giving large quantities of specific probiotics that produce certain, like B vitamins or serotonin or dopamine or can reduce inflammation. So it's a much more temporary, up to 2 weeks kind of change that can happen.
And you can repeat it, mm-hmm. like find like a balance through input.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, I take a probiotic every day or like already. So, so it's just like, what am I taking? Like
who?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's, I
guess, well, we want to run an experiment on what it is.
And we can.
We can take that bacteria. I can bring it to the lab, sequence it, and find out if the labels are correct.
So what does it mean to own a business doing this? It has to be kind of stressful. And like, I'm a previous business owner.
Yeah.
And I work with the state. I love it because I don't have to have employees or like I just write grants and stuff. But
nice.
Yeah. So you're the CEO and founder mm-hmm. of something called Kraft Microbiomes.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing that for how many years? Many years.
8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your day to day? Like, what are you trying to find, and how can people find you?
They can visit the website craftmicrobiome.com or on Instagram under the same name. My day to day is, it's like I'm being dragged by a team of wild horses every day.
Yeah.
I'm in the lab. I'm, isolated DNA, sequencing DNA. I'm taking calls from clients. A lot of my work is user or customer driven. And so they tell me what kind of metabolite or bacteria or performance they have coming up. And it's my job to learn how to isolate new, interesting types of bacteria to help them.
Which is why your code name is Microbe Hunter.
Yeah.
Dude, it goes so fast every time. thank you so much for the insight today. Yeah. And I hope that people can take some forest soil home, respect their own gut,
mm-hmm.
respect what it is that makes them tick, that you might not see in your day to day. You know, you buy your apples and you buy your cars and you think, okay, this is all somehow related. And, it really is. And that's, so, you know, I appreciate the chance to take that seriously and like the world you can't quite see so easily.
Right.
That really does underlie us all, and that over-sterilization, over-isolation, over-destruction, you know, when you take those antibiotics and you destroy your system, you have to have a positive response on the other side. And I think that's what I like about this science is, like, we have plenty of destruction in Western medicine, but how do we think about how to replace it and do due diligence to our own body in the long run? So thank you so much, Mr. Microbe Hunter, Anders Corbett, founder and CEO of Kraft Microbes. He's at Kraft Microbiome. I keep on saying Kraft Microbes because it's craftmicrobiome.com or at craft_microbiome on Instagram. Anders, thank you so much for joining me, man.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. All right. This is the Perpetual Motion Machine with your mad scientist correspondent, Wally. We are a volunteer science news collective, currently accepting new hosts. Check your gut if you want and join us on our radio journey. Have a great night.